God bless this guy for not avoiding deer hunting season, but he just told him for the first time in ages, Coach Tyler Kennedy at Southwest Football, you're not out deer hunting on opening day, huh?
I'm not, you know, but I wasn't going to go anyways. I was taking in the moment, relaxing. It's going to be a relaxed day.
So. Did you get a deer tag, though?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got some tags. We'll be out. I'll go out a little bit this afternoon and tomorrow a little bit and, yeah, mix in some housekeeping things that have been neglected for the last 12 weeks.
Sure. There you go.
Yeah.
And we were talking beforehand that, Coach Arterburn, being a head coach and everything, takes up a lot of time. Telling me he didn't get a lot of bird hunting in. By gosh, he was not going to miss opening day of deer season.
Yep. You know, he hunts all the time, and between moving and obviously football, he just hasn't had the time, and kind of the same thing. He said, you know what, I'm going to go hunt. I'm going to get 4 or 5 hours in before we start diving into film, and he deserves that. He's earned that, and that's I'm glad he's able to go out and do it. So,
what a game last night. Mark and yes. I there to call it 35-0. Would you ever expect it? You're expecting to win, but 35-0.
Sure. No, Coach Dixon and I, we talked all week. We felt really good watching film. Defensively, we felt really good and about what we could do and what they did. And did we expect a shutout? No. In the semifinals against a team that averages 55 points? Absolutely not. But, I think Coach Herman's our stat history type guy, and he told us right after the game, he knew right away. So that's the first shutout Southwest has had since, I think, 2009. And to do it in that moment against a team like that is obviously pretty phenomenal, pretty exciting stuff. So
I tell you, offense was solid last night. And to just shut them out defensively once again with no points. But your offense, defense first. I mean, you hang your hat on your defense. Those guys, they had a couple of guys. They were missing the Ely kid, which really was a big loss for them, wasn't
sure.
it?
Sure, absolutely. You know, you take a kid like that off the field, it obviously changes things. But he hasn't played the first two rounds of the playoffs. And Wallace is obviously a really good football team, and they still went out and hung 54, I think, on Wallace. And a lot of really good athletes, big physical team. But it changes the dynamic. But we really thought they were still going to watch and film. We thought they were going to lean on that run game, and that's their identity. And no different than us. You know, we struggled last week offensively, and I think Coach Arterburn was nervous, and I had all the confidence in the world that our leaders were going to come out and execute and that's exactly what they did on offense. You know, I talked about defense first, but our offense was, I mean, they were close to perfect. They were phenomenal. So,
yeah,
just a great team. I mean, that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. None of us ever been to the semifinals, but that's what it takes to win a semifinal football game, and that's what they gave us. So
Red Cloud is probably going, what do we do? Because you're running the ball, and then Houston was throwing the ball deep underneath and everything. It's like, how do we stop? What do we expect every play?
Yeah. You know, I was kind of surprised they stayed in zones and the receivers did such a good job of finding that open spot and sitting in it and obviously Houston did Houston stuff and he found them and yeah just again all around, you know, we've told these guys all year we've known how special they could be and if they ever put it all together on the same night and that was about as close to it as I think as they could have got. So yeah,
we couldn't believe Mark and I a couple of times receivers were open galore. I mean, there were sometimes, Hammond or Gage or whoever would be in a corner, and then Derek would be in the other corner. He could pick whoever he wants to throw to because there's nobody around him.
Yeah, we had the same conversation. There was just like you said, there was a couple times where, that one Derek's touchdown there before the half. I mean, there wasn't anybody within 15 yards of him. I mean, and then, like you said, there was one or two with Gage. Braxton had one like that, but. Again, on the flip side of that, pat ourselves on the back. We got a lot of weapons, and it's hard to stop that. You can shut Derek Kelly down, and then you still got to worry about Barber and Braxton, and we have a center that's really dynamic that can stretch the field, and that's something in six man that a lot of guys just don't have. He can hurt you in a lot of ways out of the center position, and then obviously the addition of Houston's legs this year has just a lot of different options that we didn't take advantage of or didn't execute in that maybe last year. So
wonder how many other centers in six man can say that they do what Gage Hammond does because he snaps the ball and then he goes out and runs around. I mean, I bet other centers see the game films and are jealous. I'd like to do that.
For sure. And you know, again, even if they want to do that, but that catch he had there in the first half where he got just blown up. And I mean, that I gave him such a big hug after that's such a huge catch you know, he had been overthrown a couple times before that, I think, and you know, we kept telling him, and I don't know what kind of conversations him and Houston had had, but we kept telling him, he'll get you. Just keep running him, keep working, he'll get you. And he got him there and just got blown up and held the ball. And yeah, it's a luxury to have a kid at center like that. So.
And Derek Kelly, you know, both his offensive, he had some great catches, no question, in traffic a lot. You know, had to put in a tight window there in the traffic. He did a great job there.
Sure, yep, absolutely. Like I said, does a phenomenal job of running his route and finding his own and sitting there and letting – and he's a big target. It makes it a little easier on Houston to find that big body there. So, yeah, they did everything we asked, and they put it all together. So.
And defensively, your guys up front really pressured them a lot, and just they just didn't have a lot of big runs last night. But that's thanks to your guys up front.
Yep. You know, the defense – I talked to you last time. They play with a chip on their shoulder, and they want to be. We knew this was a big physical team, even without the Ely kid. As good as he is physically, he wasn't their most imposing player. You know, on the physical side of things, they had three or four other guys that were really physical players, and like they've done every other time, our boys said we're going to go out and we're going to out physical them, and that's what they did. They tackled well. They tackled in space. They flew around to the football, and yeah, they just. Just really proud of them. You know, they play with a lot of pride, and that's mm-hmm. that's what we've wanted them to do all year, and that's what they do for sure. So.
In pregame warmups, Ely was out there throwing some balls around. Did you kind of think, okay, do you have a magic formula, magic potion to heal that ankle up, or did you know ahead of time it's just out there, he's just out there to warm up, and that's it?
Obviously, it caught our attention, but watching him, it was pretty obvious pretty early. We didn't think there was any way he was going to play. You know, he wasn't able to jog out with his team and doing their stretching lines and their stuff. He was walking behind. And so I think, you know, and I hate that for that kid. Obviously, he's an all-state talent, and you want to beat the best teams with the best players, but it's also the game that we all play and we love. It's part of the game, and you deal the hand you're dealt. And again, they're a phenomenal football team without him. There's no question. They took care of business easy the first two rounds without the kid, and they still got really good athletes, and yeah, it is unfortunate for him, but senior year and all.
Yeah, exactly, so, right. You bet.
For sure.
Well, of course, if you followed the game, you were there or listened or watched or whatever, you know that toward the end of the game, your quarterback, Houston Billiter, was hurt in a play and went out. I know you wrapped that. It was the left shoulder. It's not his throwing shoulder, but you and I were talking beforehand. You're crossing fingers. He'll get checked out today, and crossing fingers, it's nothing really, really, really serious.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Houston's a phenomenal leader, phenomenal athlete, phenomenal human, and he's tough as nails. You know, if there's anything he can do, he's going to get himself ready to go, and that's what we're planning on for now until we know otherwise. And like you said, a lot of crossed fingers and prayers going up, and we'll be just fine. So
exactly. Yep. Garden County with a win over Stewart. That game started an hour prior to yours, 44-28. Any big surprise?
Not really. I thought they were probably going to win. I think we all kind of thought they would be the team. You know, we all kind of said that after the playoffs last year. We, on the bus ride home, I remember specific conversation where all of us agreed the state championship we thought was probably going to go through Garden County this year. And to piggyback off of that, our boy, again, I've mentioned playing with a chip. That's been the goal all year. I mean, we've done a really good job. The motto all year has been go 1-0, play this week, don't look ahead, but this has been the end goal. The boys have wanted to play Garden County again since last year. That loss last year, we had some injuries, and it was a tough physical game. It's going to be again, but that's what everybody's wanted all year, and that's what we got, and everybody's really excited for it, for sure. So
a lot of the same names. I know the three that I've been kind of researching a little bit stat-wise, Wilsey Lobner, Kyan Kramer, and Cole Fornander. Sounds like a three-headed monster for them that do a lot for them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's the three main ones, and then, like I said, they're – to help those, and those guys are really physical guys, especially the Kramer kid. The Kramer kid's a very physical guy, whether he's running the ball, lead blocking, playing defense, and they're all very physical guys. But that's, we look forward to that. Again, we've come into a lot of games with people thinking we're not going to match up physically, and I'll, no matter what, I guarantee our boys, they're going to know they played somebody. They're going to come out, it's going to be really physical, really tough, and I look for it to be obviously an awesome football game. And
D get a chance to play on the turf there.
Yes.
A little different shoes. I mean, we were talking the way home. Is that playing on grass and everything? Now different type of cleats?
You know, I don't think so. Okay. I've never dealt with it either. It's new territory for us. But we played up at Shatter in summer camp, okay. And they played on turf. Most of these guys have been at that Shatter camp 3 or 4 years in a row, so they've got some experience on turf. So I don't see it being any kind of a difference. Just thinking back to the games we played up in Shatter, everybody dealt with it fine, you know, and it's obviously really hot there in Chatterton, and then we all know how hot that turf gets, and we don't have to deal with that side of it. So, no, I think everything should be business as usual. So,
wow, it's going to be a great atmosphere. A couple of undefeated teams. This is it for all the marbles coming up next Friday night.
Absolutely, you know, we were talking as coaches. It's a luxury for these seniors. You know, most of the time you don't know when your last football game is. You know. Now we all know this is it. Leave it all out there. You know, this is the last game that a lot of these kids are going to play. And like I said, it's new for all of us. But we've known all along that we're good enough to do it if we put it together. And we've gotten there. And, you know, whatever happens, they've done some phenomenal stuff that I don't think a lot of people expected, and obviously that no one else in our school has ever experienced. So,
you know, we named off a couple of players, a few more that really stood. DeMario Cutter, I thought, really played well for you, both sides, senior out there for you. And you had a couple of youngins have some freshmen have really contributed well for you this year as well.
Absolutely. To be in the position we're in, and a lot of the season, we've had a freshman starter on both sides of the football. You know, Weaver on the offensive side, he's our go-to for our RPOs. Like, we trust the ball getting into his hands and him getting it back to Houston, and seeing how far he's come, you know, early in the season, watching him, the nerves, I think, more than anything. He's an athletic kid, obviously. That was never a concern, but the nerves of catching that ball, getting it to Houston, and then turning and finding his block, watching how much he's gotten better at that this year has been amazing. And then, you know, I feel bad for Bo. He didn't get the minutes that he wants, you know, last night, but it was a situation with that club on his hand. He's got a broken thumb, and you know, and they were going into a lot of the spread and throwing, and he'll see the field a lot this week. You know, we told him, keep your head up. You're going to play a lot this week, and you're going to get a lot of opportunities on the biggest stage you're ever going to play in to do a lot of good things. And to be able to be on this team and have two freshmen contributing the way they did is really encouraging. And I think they understand that, and I think they have embraced that. And I just hope that they realize how much they've helped and how big a part they are. So
Sunday night, usually, or Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, kind of your big day of diving into film and it's game planning.
Typically, we always get together as coaches at 4 o'clock and do a film session. But yeah, usually Saturday, I think most of the guys like to spend the time with the family or whatever, and then really dive into film Saturday evening, and then as a coaching staff on Sunday. And I think tonight we might get together depending on everyone's schedules and get a little earlier start than normal, but yeah.
Great fan support last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to make sure I didn't forget it. All year, you know, our atmosphere, we've had officials come down to Bartley and ref games and say, man, this is a phenomenal environment for six-man football. Like, we had a crew, I think maybe the first SEM game, that I think they were out of Kearney, and they usually ref East, and after the game they were like, this was crazy. I can't believe this was six-man football down here. The environment was wild. The fireworks at home and the fans, and then last night was no different. Before the game, they had told Matt Springer that they don't usually let fans on the field.
Exactly.
They don't let fans over there. And Matt's like, well, you're going to have to. Because, right. You know, I don't know. When we first pulled up, it was about 45 minutes before the game, I think, to the field, obviously. And there was already a big enough crowd. We almost had the section that was allotted to us almost full already. Yeah. And that was 45 minutes pregame. So they obviously agreed, and they would have had to. There were so many people standing behind us.
Yeah.
There would have been nowhere for them to be. So
Mark and I were setting up last night. I talked to a lady over there, and I asked, that was my first question, are you going to allow people on the track? Well, no, we don't. I said, well, good luck trying to fill your folks and their folks, Southwest. The stands aren't going to hold it up.
No.
So you're going to figure out something. Then we heard that they were going to let people on the track. That was a good move.
Absolutely. I think we had half the stands full just on the normal side, and then I don't know how many people were over
you
on the track.
More, but there Southwest was, had more than the home team.
That's what a lot of people said. That the fans traveled really well, and again, it's exciting. I mean, and next week it'll be even bigger. There's going to be a lot of people down at Cope supporting the guys, but I'm really glad you said that, because the fans need recognition, the school needs recognition. Mm-hmm. School spirit's a major thing. Our athletic director, Rogan Camp, he prides himself on school spirit, and it's amazing. I think school spirit's a major thing, and it's great that we have the amount that we have with the fans in the school.
I was watching Les over there during the game, and he still paces up and down the sideline like he's a coach.
He
and
does.
You know, I could tell it's in his head. He's got the wheels turning up there.
Absolutely. It's I love having, you know, to me, he's Coach Rogan Camp.
Yeah.
But I love because, you know, he's a wealth of knowledge. He's coached a lot of football, and he picks up stuff that the rest of us coaches don't find, and he points things out at halftime for us, and we always talk with him after the game. And yeah, I love having Les around, and I think he loves it. I think he really does. So yeah, the fans and the environment, phenomenal. Couldn't ask for better group of fans and community.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
This little guy over here was a champ over here. He's got his phone, you know, and did let Dad talk for here a good 10 or so minutes.
Yes.
Have a great week of practice. Crossing fingers on the injuries and a little scare early when Derek kind of went out.
He just got twisted up a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, and then Barber got a cramp. I thought, okay, this is not going well here late. And so
I don't know what we got to do for Jacob. You know that kid, we give him a hard time. He cramps every week. We give him a hard time about it. And this week specifically, I know he is hydrated. I mean, we pushed him and watched him hydrate. And I don't know why he struggles with the cramps. I don't know. It's just something that – and he was really frustrated. It upsets him because this week more than ever, he was really upset about it because he did everything he thought he could do to take care of his body. And he did, and it's just something that he's dealing with. And same as any other guys, though. He's gonna do everything he can to get himself taken care of.
Lots of bananas, lots of water, lots of – pickle juice, which is really gross. I think drink that, but
we got bottles of it that they drink at halftime, and they don't like it, but they do it.
Right.
So
Tyler, thanks a million, man.
Absolutely, appreciate it.
Have a good week. Okay.
Yep. We're just the big message going into the last week. Even is we've been preaching to the boys: just live in the moment, have fun, enjoy where you're at, because it's not something that a lot of kids get to do.
Right.
And again, we got four more practices, and that's going to be the message all week. You know. Just have fun and play hard and free and fast, and everything will take care of itself. So.